This morning, as I start my message, we'll be looking in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. I entitled this message, Never Give Up. Now, as I was thinking of that phrase, there's a sci-fi comedy that came out in 1999, which it's not like a huge thing, but I just kind of like it. Some people know it. It's called Galaxy Quest, and they have a little tagline from it when they run into problems. Some people are already laughing. It says, never give up, never surrender. And I just remember that. They run into like different, like whatever, aliens or something. It's sci-fi, it's fiction. But never give up, never surrender. It's a fun tagline. As Christ followers who aren't, we're not fighting aliens or being on spaceships. Our tagline is more of a, we want a daily surrender to God. And with his empowering grace, never give up. It's not something that we can necessarily hold on to and make happen. The idea of never failing or faulting. I love the reminder this morning. The songs we sang were just wonderful. Thank you, music team. About great is thy faithfulness, right? That God, you are faithful. And even when we're not faithful and we stumble, God remains faithful to us because he cannot deny himself. And so when we think of never giving up, in order to even pursue something that looks like that, we just got to remember, I think, actually Ed mentioned it today during prayer, but because God never gives up on us, we're empowered and enabled to take steps towards him. In this life, we'll have challenges, we'll have struggles. We just prayed for some this morning. Thank you. There's things that we will face just individually and as a church family, but we also see it in our community, on our campuses, countries around the world, and in our country, a need for hope, a need for Jesus. This past Thursday, we had just a corporate prayer meeting, and we were just mentioning different areas that we wanted to pray for, different needs. And eventually, someone mentioned in the prayer group, you know what we need? It's like, we just need a revival and a move of God. Because when God comes in, there's so many different needs we can hit on. But Jesus, when he's lifted high and glorified, he's the one that can meet every single need. So we started praying for a revival. Lord, would you move in a fresh way, in a new way, through New Hope, the churches up here, in the North Country, St. Lawrence County, in our country, globally. God, move in a fresh way. May we not miss it, but be a part of it. Next week, I just want to make mention, because I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Next week, we're starting a two-week mini-series on the kingdom of God. About the kingdom coming. Glenn will be sharing next week with us. So I hope you can be here. But I want to talk about the kingdom of God a little bit, about God's reign. Wherever God is reigning is where his kingdom is coming. And when Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, he started that kingdom. He brought the kingdom of God. And then we see the victory that he had over death and sin and Satan all on the cross and his resurrection. And you see that victory is had in Jesus. But even though Jesus has that victory and he's reigning at the right hand of God in heaven, praying for us 24/7, which is so cool, we still face trouble, right? We still face problems. There's still things that are still difficult. And that victory, that kingdom of God is both here, but also it's coming. And Jesus says he's coming back again. You believe that this morning? He's coming back. That he is going to resolve all the problems of evil and sin and defeating Satan himself completely when he comes back again. So it's like the victory is here. It's here because what Christ has done, but the fullness of that victory, the completion of the kingdom of God, will be here when he comes again. Not as a baby in a manger, but as a conquering, roaring, beautiful, blazing king like the sun. I can't wait for that day. It could happen today. It could happen next year. It could happen 100 years. I don't know. But God says to be ready. A cool illustration of this, which I heard recently on our Wednesday youth group, our Alpha youth group, was an illustration they used from World War II. On June 6, 1944, it was a Tuesday, that was the day that is often referred to as D-Day, when all the landing of all the different allies landed at Normandy, and that was seen as a victory over the Nazis and over everything that was happening there, because they have landed in such a way that's like, this is victory. That's often celebrated, D-Day. But it wasn't till actually 11 months later that the full surrender of that victory was actually fulfilled. And that is what's called VE Day, or known as Victory in Europe Day, which is on May 8th, 1945. And I thought that was a cool, they used it as an illustration, but I thought it was a neat illustration that victory was here, the celebration, but the full realization of that didn't actually come 11 months. And as followers of Christ, we're in between that, that victory on the cross, Jesus coming back, we're still in there. And so as we're still in that place, we sometimes can get discouraged. We sometimes can lose heart. We can sometimes want to give up. And I want to mention this because as we before we read this passage, it really is talking about the kingdom of God coming and that wait and that we're in there. So as we look at Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, we want to remember that Jesus is giving encouragement to his followers, and I believe even to us through his Holy Spirit this morning, to always pray and to not give up or to lose heart. So let's look at Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Can you advance the slide? I don't know if the clicker's working. Oh, awesome. And he told them a parable to the effect that they always ought to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let's just take another moment to pray. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the hope we have in you. Lord, would you speak to us through this? God, show us how you want to live in a place of prayer and place of encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about prayer for a moment. For those who have been participating, we're currently a church body, some of us, or maybe a lot of us. I'm not sure. I don't check in on every single person, but we're currently spending some time in prayer in kind of a 20-day prayer challenge. I believe today's day 13. And I hope for some of you being able to spend some time in prayer, the idea is to spend 20 minutes a day, you've been able to just kind of get in a rhythm of whether it's in the morning or afternoon or evening, just spending some time in prayer, talking, but also listening. And if you haven't started, today's a great day to start. If you already stopped and given up and lost heart, today's a great day to restart, the reset. really, there's lots of grace to be found. So I hope it's a place of life and a place of just abiding and joy with the Lord. But I want to talk about prayer. So Jesus is talking about to his disciples. He's telling them a parable. A parable is it's a spiritual story that Jesus was sharing. He told a lot of parables. Jesus loved telling stories. He had like one small little point, and then he would give like a really long story. And sometimes it was super clear on what the parable meant. In this case, he already gave us the answer from verse 1. Other parables weren't as clear, and they would need like, the disciples would be like, what does that even mean? And he would explain it, and then sometimes they would understand, and sometimes they wouldn't. But this is what this story, the spiritual story that Jesus is telling, is that we always ought to pray and not lose heart. This is in the ESV translation. The NIV translation, it says, we should always pray and not give up. And remember I was talking about how we're in that place in between Christ's victory on the cross and then Jesus coming again. And that's really the context of what's happening here. It can be so easy when the challenges of life just start building up against us and they're not resolved immediately, but time keeps going a little bit longer and longer. We can start to become discouraged, right? Start to lose heart. Maybe just want to throw in the towel, so to speak. Be like, I'm good, Lord, with you, to follow after you for a month, but if the situation doesn't get resolved in a month, I'm losing heart, or maybe it's a year, or maybe it's a decade, or decades, and you've been realizing there's been struggles and difficulties, and realizing that, maybe I should want to give up. Well, Jesus is encouraging the disciples and us this morning that we should continue to pray and not lose heart. That this needs to be the place of fuel, the place of source. And that's just the whole idea as we're doing a prayer reset together. Prayer is really like, as believers and those who follow Christ, that is our fuel source. Abiding with Jesus daily. If you're trying to find strength from somewhere else, it won't last. If you're trying to build on something else besides Jesus, it won't last. But that abiding joy of just spending time with God, of just being in his presence, not just knowing the lyrics of Good, Good Father, but having the Good Father directly in prayer tell you he loves you. Wow. You start your morning or your afternoon or your evening with that kind of conversation with the Lord. Just one word from the Lord can change your entire day. A move of God can change your entire life. And sometimes we can get so busy that we just don't prioritize spending time with God in prayer. I want to talk about prayer a little bit more before talking about this parable. So the first part, we want to pray, and we want to not lose heart, never give up. We will fall and falter, but know that God never gives up on us. I saw this quote online. I shared it on Facebook. Some of you saw it, but I just wanted to read it this morning because I really liked it. It's by Max Lucado. I thought it was a good reminder. It says, our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Isn't that so true? This past Wednesday and during youth group, we were praying. We normally always try to pray in either small groups or a large group with our middle school and high school students. And I was praying for one of our leaders, Juby, who's here, and I wrote down Judy in my in my little note-keeping thing. I was thinking, like, Lord, you're so good that that's kind of awkward when you're praying for someone with the wrong name. It's awkward at the first, you know. Just like, but God's so good, because even when we can, like, falter, mess up, and things like that, that the Lord, he hears, and he knows our heart, and because the power's on his side and not on our side, I don't need to come up with some kind of, you know, yeah, this power source is going to make something that I do. It's going to be something that he does. And for us, if you're in a place of like, yeah, I don't really know how to pray, I feel awkward doing it, that's great. It's a great place to start, right? Just talking to God. It literally is a conversation. And it's just like any other conversation. You can just be honest and open with God and lift up prayer requests. But I like this quote. It's a great reminder that the power is on God's side. So let's talk about this parable, this story a little bit. Let's unpack it. So in verse 2 to 3, he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. So we don't learn a lot about this judge, but we do know he does not respect God nor fear man. If you're in like a court system right now or a trial system, this is probably not the judge you want, right? Does not fear God nor respect people. So it's like, man, this is going to be a harsh sentence or something. This is not the judge I'm going to want. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how Jesus told us that for those who seek after God, we want to love God and love other people. And this just reminded me of kind of the exact opposite, not caring for God and definitely not caring for other people. So this is the context of the judge that we know. And then to set the setting, there's a widow in this city who kept coming and saying, give me justice against my adversary. We don't learn what the adversary is or what the justice is needed. But once again, it's a parable that's showing us we need to pray and to not lose heart or not give up. So, going on, it says, for a while he refused. So this widow kept coming and he kept refusing. But afterwards he said to them himself, which I love this part, though I neither fear God nor respect man, so he definitely knows his priorities. I don't fear God nor respect man. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. That's a very interesting sentence in the story, right? That the ongoing, the keep coming, he's just like, I'm just going to get worn down. He's like, I don't care about her. I don't care about people. I don't fear God. But her consistency and persistence is wearing me down. That literally is using words of like getting beat down. As I was looking at this, that actual phrase in the original language is of being beat down or wear me out, coming. The idea of being a like strike under the eye, or some of us might be more familiar with like give a black eye to. So kind of like getting punched in the face if you ever got a black eye. That I don't think the widow is actually coming to the judge and trying to punch him in the face. But the idea that this continual like blackening of the face, he's like, I want to avoid this. And actually, in the culture, in the Eastern culture, the idea of having one's face blackened means to suffer shame in regards to a black eye. So it's just kind of like this continually approach, the persistency of this widow coming in this way will just bring shame upon my face, and I want to just resolve it and move on. So this judge does not care about God, nor respect man. But because of this widow's persistency and coming, he decides I'm going to do something about it. And so as we're looking at this, some parables, there's some neat correspondence to like the person in it or the people in it and then God. I think of one of my favorite ones is Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son and the father. And the father that just was waiting for his child, his son specifically, to come on home and just had this heart, which I think is really good reflection of God's heart. In this parable, the judge is not similar to God at all. It actually would be like the complete opposite. And that's the point that Jesus is about to bring about. That even though this unjust judge will listen to the persistent widow, we get to look at our God and the God that we serve. We don't have a God like that. We got a God that loves you, that he values you, he created you. I think it's so cool that he made every single person on the planet. So whether you and I realize the relationship we can or have with Jesus, know that God already has a relationship with you. He's already knit you together in your mother's womb. He wants you to have a relationship through Jesus Christ and come to know him and have new life. But just know that God is so for you and so values you and so loves you and wants to care for you even more than we can ever imagine or ask. That's the kind of God that we serve. So we do not serve a God like this judge. We serve a good God who is a judge, but he's also our Father. So this says in verse 6, so we're comparing it to this judge. He's not like this. In verse 6 it says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says, will not God give justice to his elect? In other translations, we have the chosen ones, those who are followers after Christ, who have experienced new life. Will he not give them justice, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? So the idea here is, as the unjust judge didn't care about people and other people, that we have a God who does care, who is caring for our needs and cares for what we're going through. That because of that, that God wants to make a difference and intervene in our situations. He does in ways that we see, and he also does in ways that we don't see. You ever notice that sometimes you pray for things and then they get answered very similarly to how you pray? But then you also notice that sometimes you pray for things, it gets answered in ways that you never even thought to pray, right? Lord, the provision is coming this way, and this means at this time. And it came from a different way, with a different means, at a different time. Lord, I want healing to look like this, 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 in 3 days, and that. And came a year later from this way. You know, God's timing is not our timing. God's way is not our ways. But know that he does care, and he does want to bring justice to our situation. To specifically the disciples in this situation who are in a place of distress, and as you're in between the victory of the cross, which they were about to experience soon, we get to look backwards at the cross, which is really cool, and then look forward to Jesus coming. That when we're in places of distress, places where we need Christ to move in our life, know that he cares for you, and he wants to respond. And it's not even a delayed response. It says in this parable, it says, will he delay long over them? The idea is that we might even be surprised at the quickness of sometimes the way God responds to the places of distress, places of hurt, places of just needing God to move. And if you're here this morning and you're in a place of distress, you're in a place of, God, I need you to move, and maybe we were just praying for some of those ways this morning, know that God does have a desire to intervene in his timing and in his way, in a way that would just bless you but also glorify him. You have not been forgotten. He has not left you, and he never gives up on you. So the empowerment that God gives to us as we pray and realize that he is for us and not against us, and he cares for those who are praying for him, that we can come to him in a place of asking, Lord, God, would you work in my life? Would you work in my family's life? Lord, would you work in my coworkers? Or I know we have some college students here. I know we'll have more in a week or two. Would you work in my roommate, my professor, faculty? God, would you move in a powerful way in our community and on our campuses? And we can pray that way because we have a God that we know who wants to respond and he wants to care for us. If we're not careful and we don't focus on Jesus, we can let our prayer time with the Lord slip. We can start to become discouraged. I don't know why. This is just my personal experience. I can't say this is like a thing, but when life gets hard and life gets busy, it can sometimes seem that the thing that needs to go the first, so I have more time to work on problems, is prayer. I don't know if you ever experienced that. The one thing that's actually the most crucial, important thing to be doing, it's like, we'll just try to fit it in a little bit later. Or, you know, I'm just so busy with the problems of life, I just don't have time. And if we let that go, discouragement, loss of heart, wanting to give up, just seems like, at first maybe a silly idea, then it seems like that's actually not a bad idea. I just don't have time. I would encourage you, if you're in a season of difficulty and challenges, keep pressing into God. Keep coming near to the Lord. He is with you. He cares for you so much. There's different seasons of life. I've heard it once said that our life's kind of like a book. And some chapters of the book are really, really awesome, and some chapters we wish we could skip. But know that there's different chapters, and God's the Lord over the entire book. He's writing it. So I just encourage you, keep going. Don't give up. Know that God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, the neat thing is, as we see the persistent widow, God is one that doesn't have to be, like, pleaded to death in order for him to do something. This judge had to get, pleaded with until, like, he's like, fine, I just want to get rid of this widow. I'll just do what she wants. Anyways, God cares about us. We don't have to use, like, long strings of words. We don't have to be, like, having all this, like, kind of, like, Christianese kind of, like, lingo. Just kind of, like, I need to have all these right words, and then God will hear me. Since God is a good father, and if you think, like, a good parent who has a child, if they just come, if the child comes to the parent, that parent's looking to respond to the child. It doesn't have to be like a whole phrase of, well, you know, you didn't ask for the cereal with a full sentence and there was an exclamation point, so we're not going to give you the Cheerios, right? But sometimes you can do that in prayer. God, I don't got the right lingo. Or maybe you've been struggling and you've been faltering and you realize, I made some mistakes this week. So because of that, I'm just not going to pray because I don't feel like God wants to be around me. Maybe you feel like you're kind of dirty, just kind of like, I don't know. But if you think of a good parent with a child and child making a mistake, it's just like, man, yeah, you made a mistake. Let's talk about it. But I want to hug on you. I want to love you. How much more your Heavenly Father who wants to love on you and care for you. And so if you're feeling like you need to clean up your life first and then you'll get your prayer life back in order, that's the wrong order. Come to God, ask for forgiveness, and then just move into that prayer life. Jesus can clean up your life from the inside out. You can't do that. So I encourage you, spend time in prayer. Do not give up. Jesus is coming back. We do have the victory. Continue to look up. I have a couple reflection questions as I'm wrapping up this morning. A couple places. Is there things in your life that you feel are blocking your view of the Son of Jesus? Things that are either problems or good things that cause you to maybe just not focus in and pray. In this context, it was like a distressing thing for the disciples, but also good things. Success can sometimes be a huge block to pursuing Christ. As we're so successful, we're like, we don't need Jesus. I don't have time for Jesus. I'm doing it all on my own. And it's really just a lie from the enemy. Like, we need Jesus, whether you're succeeding or failing, or if you're in a place of health, or you're in a place of no health or low health, know that we still need Jesus. Is there something that might be blocking your view of Jesus? I remember coming back from Plattsburgh once, and it was a really cloudy day, a little bit of snow, a little bit of rain, fun little mix. And I was like, wow, super cloudy. I'm like, man, I wish the sun was shining. And as I was driving, it was so neat, and some of you have probably seen this before, but there was like a pocket in the cloud, like a hole in the clouds, and there was just a sun ray like coming straight down. And I looked everywhere around, and everywhere was clouds, everywhere was like a little like rain, snowstorm. But this one place, the sun was just shining straight through it. And it was just like the right temperature where you could see like the rays coming down. And I felt the Lord was just saying, like, even when the clouds are thick and they're everywhere, just remember that I'm still shining. I'm still above the storm. I can break through the storm. I can be like light penetrating the darkness. I just saw as a reminder, is there anything in our lives that maybe we're focusing on more than Christ? And maybe we can't see through the clouds, so maybe there's no pocket of light. That's where faith is really important. Will there be faith to trust in God, even when circumstances are in a place that are difficult? So this morning, what's blocking your view of the sun? The last verse, in verse 8 of this passage, it talked about when the Son of Man comes, and if you have kind of this view of like the kingdom of God and Jesus coming back again, will you find faith on earth in the midst of difficulty? Having faith in Christ is crucial to be able to pray and to not lose heart. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how Christ is described in Revelations. It's amazing. If you read Revelations, you can see what happens at the end of time. Sure, there's some questions about what exactly does all these things mean, but know that Christ is king and he's reigning. And as I was reading Revelations 1, 12 to 16, it says this. It says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands was one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Pretty powerful imagery, right? But if you look in Revelations, like, the story ends incredibly well. Humanity and the victory that Christ has given to us ends incredibly well because we have a reigning king who will come back and reign in power. So if there's things that are blocking your view of the sun, I would encourage you, have faith to trust that, Lord, you are still reigning over these clouds, over these difficulties, over these challenges. Next thing I want to ask you, have you given up? So we learned that we should pray and not lose heart or not give up. Have you lost heart and become discouraged? When we first start our walk with the Lord, there's usually sometimes a lot of passion of, God, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. But then we can hit some bumps and some roads, and sometimes we can get discouraged. I was reading the Gospel of Luke, and one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, was just really, he's just I'm all in kind of guy. And Jesus is like, hey, you know, Peter, you're gonna deny me three times. And Peter's like, nah, not me. He's like, suffering, persecution, even death. I'm never giving up, right? He's like, I'm all in till the end. You can kill me. I'll be right there next to you. She's like, no, you're gonna deny me three times. And then as Jesus was in a place of getting ready to be crucified and killed, there was three times that Peter actually ended up denying him. As he was asked, do you know Jesus? Weren't you with Jesus? Yeah, well, you're one of his disciples, right? And he denied him three times. I just thought of, wow, sometimes we can have this commitment of, God, I'm going to go all after you, which I think is great. I think we should have that commitment. But just know that we do make mistakes and we do falter. And it's so cool because even though we can give up sometimes and we can struggle, because God never gives up on us, later on Peter was restored and God just loved on him. He knew ahead of time that he would get denied by him, but he also knew that he could restore him too. And so if you've been in a place of, you know, I've been kind of in denial of God. People asking me, are you Christian? No, not really. No, I kind of do that if it fits in. It's not really my thing, but I kind of go to church when I can. Know that God still loves you, and he can restore you. He can restore you even this morning. So if you have lost heart and become discouraged, know that God has the ability to restore. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We want to stay faithful to what God has called us. But know that if we do trip up and mess up, God gives us the grace to get up again. I'd like to invite up the musicians at this time as we just read the last point. Lastly, as we're talking about encouragement and discouragement, a little bit more thinking of others. So God can encourage us and empower us to pray and to not lose heart. But who can you encourage today? Who can you encourage this week? God desires to encourage us, but he also wants us to encourage others with encouragement we have received. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have an opportunity each day, we only live one day at a time, to choose to, Lord, I want to encourage others I want to lift others up. If we had to be honest, I'm sure all of us in different times of our life have been discouraged, have wanted to give up. But sometimes there's moments when someone comes in, that phone call, that visit, that text, that Facebook message, someone just stopping over, says, hey, I just want to encourage you. The right word at the right time, and it just brings life. We have that ability through God's Spirit to be that encouragement. So if you're feeling discouraged this morning, I encourage you, be encouraged through the power of the Holy Spirit. But then take that and encourage others this week. Encourage people you know. Maybe if you're have friends or family who are living with you or near you, encourage the people you're around. That's a great place to start. But also look, Lord, can I encourage other people I meet this week? People that maybe I don't even know. Can I build them up, realizing that, God, you created them, you love them, you care for them. How can I be that encouragement today, as long as it is called today? So let's take a moment to pray as we conclude with a song, we'll have a benediction. And then if there's any ways we can be praying for you, I know we prayed before, but we'll have prayer teams up here. We love to pray for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you never give up on us. God, thank you that you are faithful all the time. God, there's literally not a time that you're not faithful. Lord, none of us can say that about our life. God, whether it's even faithfulness in friendships, marriage, relationships, school, work, God, doing even New Year's resolutions that maybe some of us have already struggled with. God, you remain faithful all the time. And Lord, I just pray your blessing upon us this morning. God, help us to lift our eyes. For those who are experiencing great discouragement this morning, God, I pray for encouragement through your Holy Spirit. God, for those who are just feeling like, I just don't want to pray. God, I pray for a desire to seek you in prayer. Holy Spirit, ignite a passion for you, that it's not just a spiritual discipline to have to do, but a way to connect with you that brings great joy and life. And Lord, I pray that we could experience the encouragement of knowing you, and we could share that with others today and throughout this week. God, help us to be bold in the way that we encourage. Help us to be fearless in the way that we love. God, help us to serve others in ways that would honor you until we go to you or you come back. God, help us to be faithful to the end. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.